This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool.
Check one.
Check one. Check. Is that how you do it?
Yes. You just say what I say. Say check.
Check.
And now say one.
And now say one. Oh my God. Do you see what I did there? Hi. Welcome to my favorite murder minisode.
This is the episode that is smaller than a normal episode. Hence, did we steal that from Doug Benson? Did he invent the idea of minisodes? I wonder.
I don't know. I feel like everyone does them and has been doing them, but that would make sense.
That's the first time I even thought of it.
Oh, shit. Do we owe him royalties on the nothing we make out of this?
We do for being high every time we record.
That's true.
So we'll just add it onto the tab.
Okay.
You guys know what this is, right?
Hey, your hometown stories, you email them to us. We don't look at them. Steven does.
Steven does all the work.
All the work. And then last week, this is how smart Steven is, because I don't think we would have remembered this at all. Last week at the minisode, we said that we said to everyone, if you're an EMT or like a first responder or some shit, or a nurse or fucking whatever the shit, tell us your stories. We want your stories.
Yeah.
And then we forgot. And then just now Steven was like, hey, you guys remember how you mentioned that last week? Well, I did that for you.
And I was like, yes, I remember, Steven. Hand me the paper.
And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Like I just had,
didn't. It was a brand new idea for
you. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, we should totally do that.
Oh my God, I want to do that.
Yeah. We're now, so smart.
Now you can.
And now we're going to.
And now it's Steven's segment entitled EMT Stories.
Karen, you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, go.
Should I just read these in order?
Yeah, let's read them all. There's three. You have three. I have three. Okay, man. These are good. Mm-hmm. Unless they're bad. Steven, you're fine.
Well, I think also it's just an interesting... It's an entree into a world. So
it's
my
a different take on things.
On life. My first one, the subject line is EMT stories, no murder, though.
Pass.
Immediately we're off brand, but... We're also forging new ground.
It's a survivor story. You love those.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope so. What if it's like no more murder and no survivors?
Right. It's just a car accident.
Just straight up tragedy. We might want to go into tragedy. We've done a little bit of comedy already.
Let's go. Let's happy face, sad face this shit.
Okay, ready? Hi, my dad is a former fire chief, and he had to go through EMT training when he was first starting out. When he was, this person just gets right into it.
No, hi.
It's a hi. There's no compliments, which I have to respect.
They're just like, hi, I have PTSD.
Hi.
There you go.
Let me tell you this goddamn story. You asked for it.
Yeah.
Okay. When he was off duty, we would gather around the family dinner table and generally conversations were peppered in with what he had seen. It was always a lesson of some sort. Don't drive alone on this particular road at night. It's dangerous. Someone just got in a crash and their head came off.
Oh, no. How do you like your pot roast?
Finish your peas. Don't drive it with a fake license. We told the wrong parents their daughter was dead.
Fuck. Oh, my.
That's such good advice.
God.
If you are underage and you're buying beer with a fake ID, just remember that right before the fatal car accident.
Oh my God.
That's
how angry were her parents after they find out that she's fine.
Dude.
Can you imagine hearing that? And then she walks through the door.
And then you're like, oh my God, I'm hallucinating.
what the f- that I just can't get past this.
It's so good.
That's so bad.
This is the richness of life as a first responder.
Yeah, you have to tell two families that their daughter's dead that night.
Who? But also, it's just everything is the extreme. There's not going to be it. This isn't a grocer. Yeah, like everything's going to be the story of like a then they were hanging off a cliff. The
grocers have it hard, man.
Absolutely, full respect to grocers. Hanging off a cliff.
there's no cliffs in the grocery store. There's no like what's it called? Calls. There's no normal calls. You know what I mean? There's no like. Oh,
they're all 911 calls. You mean?
No. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh yeah, that's right. We're still in this. Okay. It was probably where all my anxiety / fascination about death came from. Yeah, I bet it was.
I bet you're right.
My dad was the first and last fireman who participated in Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
Oh my God.
First and last. And took me on a 24-hour shift. That's hilarious. This must have been the 80s.
24-hour shift for your daughter.
Okay, can I just say this? My father was a San Francisco fireman, and every time we went to see him in the firehouse, you got to do a thing where he would like hand push you up the pole so you could slide back down, basically slightly taller than the average man.
Yeah.
But we would be like, Dad, let's go see where you sleep. And he'd be like, nope, no girls allowed up there. Like, he wouldn't. And why? I think now, in retrospect, there was probably like Playboy Center folds taped up to things, or
yeah, because it was back then. I was in a
stall dudes.
I was in a sleeping area of a firehouse once.
Oh, really?
And went down the full pole, and it was fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Wait, how old were you?
30 something. This is for TV. It's fine.
Then they cleaned it up for TV.
Yeah, they took down the what was I gonna say? Oh, the take your daughter to work day for 24 hours. I feel like it's more like, stop asking your dad for money and appreciate what he does for a living more, like, then show her what you do. Like, it's, look what I fucking do for you.
For you. Have some goddamn respect.
A little respect. Okay.
But respect, you don't need to, like, sleep at the firehouse to get the idea. Anyway.
No, okay, totally.
But let's stop criticizing her for one second.
No, we're criticizing her dad.
Okay. My dad is the first and last fireman who participated in Take Your Daughter to Work Day and took me on a 24-hour shift. I got to put on gear, ride in the engine, wake up every time they did.
Hey.
I wasn't allowed out of the truck for a few of the calls. Oh, that's a smart call. The car fire, the domestic violence call where the perpetrator was still wandering around with a knife and the woman was in critical condition. I was a 14-year-old girl alone in the fire engine. And a fatal car accident, which thankfully I slept through in the engine.
Oh my.
I did get to go inside of an apartment where a man was having a seizure and peeing himself. Yeah, that's what we do.
That's the okay one for you to come. Come on in and see this guy.
Yeah,
pee,
look
this
it.
Grown man.
It's natural.
Pee himself.
This is as God intended.
Yeah.
Needless to say, the department quickly realized some issues and banned the 24-hour shift with kids. This is so hilarious. My siblings all got to do this, but had to stay in the firehouse and only got to go on easy calls and only stayed for 4 hours. No murder here, but a fun tale of how parents probably mess their kids up. My kids will remember all my lessons I've learned from MFM podcast, quote, stay out of the forest, buddy up always, all the time. And if you're in a cult, you can call me, etc. Thanks. Thanks, ladies. Leah.
That's awesome. That one.
I do too.
That was so interesting.
One time I was visiting my dad at the firehouse and we were sitting in the truck with like a jacket on, like they were giving us the whole thing, and then the bell started ringing and my dad just like pulled me out. It was just like, get the hell out of here. Like, the idea of going on a run is insane to me.
Oh my God. And he doesn't have time to ask you nicely to, because someone's literally seconds away.
Exactly right.
If he doesn't do that,
they can't mess around and be like, honey, will you come
down?
We need
you to get out of the, can daddy have his jacket back?
Yeah, no, no way.
No.
Get the hell out of here, little girl.
This is fascinating. This isn't like my mom's job of property management.
It's a little different.
It's a little different. Okay, I'm going to go. Ready?
Yes.
This is called I Survived plus EMT plus They Caught that SOB.
Nice.
All right. Hello, ladies and Steven. I just finished listening to your latest minisode and heard your call for EMT stories loud and clear. Have I got a story for you?
Uh-oh.
Fuck yeah. One of my close friends, Ashley, is an EMT. She works in a part of Arizona that is rural, so it can be pretty desolate for long distances. One day her and her partner were driving on one of those these roads when a man covered in blood runs out from the in front of their ambulance. They stop and proceed to get out to help the man. He could barely talk, and he was speaking incoherently. They realized that his throat had been slit. Suddenly, another man runs into the road and tells them that he was this man's friend and he was taking him to the hospital. Ashley realized that they came from the other road across the medium that went in the opposite direction of the hospital. Ashley told him they needed to help his friend and told her partner to stay with the man that claimed he was the friend and detain him. She took the injured man to the in the ambulance and started fixing him up and asked, "Who did this to you?" The injured man pointed at the friend. Ashley then called the police and they were out there right away and arrested the friend. I was told the two men were in fact friends or had some sort of relation. They got into a fight while driving and the one man slashed his throat. The injured man proceeded to jump out of the car and run across the road in front of the ambulance. How lucky is he that there was an ambulance there? Jesus.
An ambulance was driving by. Yeah. Says, that's crazy.
And he's like, "Can you fix this?
Hey, really quick.
I have a little cut.
I have a question about my throat."
And the other guy was like, no, we're friends.
It's fine.
Can I take it? It's like,
he's one
Dahmer,
of my closest friends.
Was it? He's one of my closest friends. we were just doing blood brothers. He survived and the would-be murderer was apprehended by police. Ashley and her partner won awards for their efforts.
Wow.
Thank you for your amazing podcast and stay sexy, don't get murdered, Samantha.
Wow.
Thanks, Samantha. It's a good
so
one.
They got the golden ambulance that year?
For... Is it a full-size golden ambulance?
You they get got to a keep ride. It for a year, yeah. And then you have to give it back. It's like really, a pink Mary Kay Cadillac.
It costs a lot in gas, but it's worth it.
The golden ambulance. All right, this one doesn't have a subject line.
Oh,
it says, "Hi, Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and Kitty Cats." Mm. I couldn't help but write in after the most recent minisode where you chatted about EMTs. My dad retired 2 years ago after 34 years working as a fire lieutenant and EMT, aka General Badass. I always thought it was normal as a kid to have CPR dummies and books full of pictures of compound fractures lying around the house. Okay, sorry.
Did you have this?
Yes. My mom had a book. She was studying for some... thing. I can't, maybe she had to like renew something. I can't remember what it was, but it was this yellow book.
And she was a nurse.
Yes. My mom was an RN. For some reason she had this yellow book and it was all, it was like a teaching book, you know, or whatever she, whatever class she was taking, whatever, but it had these really gnarly cartoon examples of things. And I remember flipping through it and then just landing. And it was a guy that had just been in a car accident. And that's exactly, it was like a cartoon version of somebody with all these things wrong on him that like, I think it was like, so it's like, this is what happens to the arm when it breaks this way or whatever. But it was so intense and like over the top. It almost looked like an artist for like Mad Magazine had drawn a guy.
Yeah, that's
who was
impossible.
Seriously,
that would never it looks impossible, right?
It's crazy. It was so, I wonder if this is the book she's talking about, because it was like I being a kid and just being like, watch it be frozen into my mind of like a just bone sticking out
it
of places.
Between having a mom who worked at a mental institution, a dad who was a fireman, living in fucking Petaluma, like Northern California, where all the murders happen.
That's right.
I'm so like surprised you're
alive.
Normal.
Yes. Yeah, well, I kind of am not though.
Well,
I feel like.
Yeah. But you're no, you're not.
You can say it.
I didn't have any of those things, and I think we're the same kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's
you're
true.
Not like crazier than you should be. As
thank you.
Living in LA and being.
Well, I think there's something very strangely grounding about it, and maybe that's the murderino element for me. Is it's that thing of like, I want to see it. I
totally
just tell me what it is. Tell me what it looks like for a guy to get in a car accident and have his bone break through his arm skin.
Totally.
I might as well learn it now
because it's I know like what that. Happens.
It's gonna happen. I might see it.
Totally.
Let's just get ready.
We've had so many. I had two ex-boyfriends die in violent car accidents.
That's
and
crazy.
One best friend. Like, there's no reason I shouldn't be interested in this. It's just like, here's what fucking happens when
here's
you drink and drive. There's no looking away.
Yeah. Yes. And that kind of loss, I think it's like, what else would be as interesting when you, it's like you've seen the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be like, I love dolphins.
Right. Everyone's
you know what
fine
I mean?
All the time.
Yes.
Everyone's going to be great.
Everything's great.
Not
going
to
go to Costco.
Not
nope.
going to lose everything at
right?
any moment.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
Georgia.
No. I'm not trying to take away. I'm not trying to one-up you on shit. It's just like, no wonder we're fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
No wonder we're murderinos.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason. It comes from somewhere.
Sorry.
No. Okay, so books full of pictures of compound fractures lying around the house, and then in parentheses, I guess it's not. My dad hadn't told me a lot about the worst stuff he had seen, mostly because to him, it's just doing his job. there are a few rad stories that I do remember, however. They're not really spooky, but pretty cool nonetheless. One time when I was about 6 or 7, we were driving home from a family vacation on an otherwise nondescript and empty roadway.
Bad news.
Oh, what a start. Suddenly, my dad pulled the car over and ran to a minivan that had flipped and rolled in a ditch on the side of the road. Luckily, my dad always had his medic kit in our car, so he immediately started to provide care while my mom called 911. I believe that the woman who was driving the car had been knocked unconscious and her kids were trapped in the back seat of the in the back of the car in their seats and car seats. My dad was able to get them stabilized and the first responders took over from there. I remember having to go in the trunk of the car to get him a change of clothes because he was literally covered in blood.
Oh.
I don't know whatever happened to that family, but I'm glad my dad was able to help them. Also, there have been multiple times where we've been eating at a restaurant, minding our business, and someone starts choking. No. My dad always calmly rushes over and literally saves their life before I'm able to finish my baked potato.
Can you imagine having a dad that's, he's that much of a hero and caretaker?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
I can't imagine that. Oh.
My dad's good. My dad helped me put my air conditioning unit in my window once.
Marty!
I bet Marty could do it.
My mom, it was like the legendary story. So my mom worked in Santa Rosa and she would drive up the 101 to go to work. Mm-hmm. And this, she, for whatever she was doing this when she was wearing her nurse's whites. And she saw a car accident. Like she came upon a car accident as it just happened. And there was a guy, his car was like smoking and all fucked up. And he was just sitting in the driver's seat. So my mom walked up to the driver's side and she was like, "Hi, my name's Pat Kilgariff. I'm a nurse. You've just been in an accident. Do you know your name?" And she's doing like the standard stuff. He's like, "Yeah, no, I think I'm fine. Actually, it was bad. Cause I guess the truck rolled or something." Jesus. It was like, but they were normal up and like he was just sitting there and she goes, "Okay, do you feel like anything might be broken?" You know, she's asking all this question and he goes, "You're my mom and I'm the guy."
Okay.
And he goes, "I mean, I don't know. I guess my head hurts a little bit." And he turns like this.
No.
He's got, kind of like a unicorn. He's got a piece of glass sticking out of his forehead. So as he turns, he's like, "Yeah, I think I'm okay." And my mom's like, "Uh-huh. Okay, well."
What did you?
She was like, "Just sit back and, the ambulance is coming."
Well,
and
don't look in the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. She said she had to not break or make any, like she just had to act like they were still chatting the way they already were. So then she turned, this is a true story, she turns around to walk back to her car and she's got blood because she was like leaning on his side of the car. So there's blood now on the front of her nurse's whites. The woman who drove carpool with our family at our grammar school, Ann Lily, is driving up the freeway and now sees my mom walking away from a car accident with blood all over the front of her and thinks my mom is wandering. And Ann Lily was also a nurse.
Oh, no.
Thinks my mom is like wandering with a head injury. Out of the car
to her so car to drive away. Oh my God.
it was crazy. Okay, sorry.
Comedy of errors. Is that what they call it?
We're still in the middle of this.
We just can't get through this.
I can't
Listen,
stop.
It's personal. It's close to home.
Hijacking everyone's other. It's about me. Okay. The fact that my dad worked in his field for so long seems crazy, but honestly, I don't think he could imagine doing anything else. He's a natural caretaker, and I'm so proud to know that over his career, he has saved hundreds of lives and also rocked a badass mustache.
Oh,
same
dad.
With my dad.
Yeah, you did.
And same with Steven. Thank you guys for taking a minute to recognize the efforts of EMTs. Their jobs are not the easiest, but they are certainly necessary. Stay sexy and learn CPR, Jenna Kate. God.
Do you know it? You best know it.
I took a CPR class.
I never did it.
It you should.
I'm embarrassed.
It's actually very fun. They make it really fun.
And I know I need to.
Yeah. It's not that hard or like involved.
Yeah.
It's just basically learning. A lot of the stuff they talk about is like these days, you don't have to do a lot of CPR yeah. yourself, because almost everywhere you go and then you start noticing it, there's those things that are everywhere.
Yeah, the sign, the how to's.
The well, there's like a little thing that when you pull it, there's like an electrical.
Oh.
I think they're like, oftentimes you see them, like the next time I saw one was at an airport.
Oh, I'm going to notice.
But it's like a thing where you can basically go, you know, when they go clear and
zzz, yeah.
you, they have these things sitting around where you can do that for people if they've just had a heart attack.
Holy fuck, don't do that to me.
Okay.
Let's try it.
Even if you had a heart attack?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, okay. Because you might need it.
You know what? Do it.
Okay. Even if you didn't have a heart attack?
I changed my mind. Yeah.
Okay.
Just do it when I'm sleeping.
Great.
Just for fun.
And just see what you, like, did you dream anything different? Yeah.
Did I, like, know to wake up and punch you, or did I, like, freak out? Like, how do I react?
Right, exactly.
Does?
Or did it just, like, solve your allergies?
Oh, my God.
And then everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com. shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Okay, this one's called First Responder's Favorite Murder.
Yay.
Steven, I know this is long, but I promise it's a great story, he said. What the? She? This is Mitch. I was right. All right. Hey, Karen. It really said Steven. It really said Steven. Hey, Karen and Georgia. I love your show and other obligatory pleasantries.
Nice.
As an EMT of 5 years, there's something therapeutic in having open conversations about the horrific things that happen every day. We aren't normally encouraged to spill the gory beans, and I got so excited when you guys started talking about EMTs and other first responders. You were absolutely right that when you said that PTSD is abundant in the field, but believe it or not, it's not really talked about at all. We've only recently discovered just how big of a problem it is. I only worked for a little over 4 years and have been out for 6, but I still have lasting psychological effects such as nightmares, anxiety, and occasional bouts of agoraphobia.
Yeah.
Wow. If you're listening to this letter and you're an EMT who is struggling with such issues, I want to tell you that therapy is monumentally helpful and there's no shame in talking to somebody about it. Just do it. You'll feel better.
Aw. Nice.
And then it says, anywho, murder. I love it.
Well done.
That was great. Let's get to the murder. On this particular night, my partner and I worked the third shift. We were to get off work at 4 a.m. and it was just before 3. So we were right in that window of please don't let us get a call, because it would almost assure us that we'd get off late. And we'd already been working for 13 hours. Uh-huh. Holy shit. I was ready to go home, but it was not to be. We received a call from an unknown problem. When we arrived at the poorly lit apartment complex.
Sorry, can I just say?
What?
Can you imagine where your job is like, go be the first person to show up at the unknown problem?
Go see what's happening.
Yeah, we're not sure.
We don't know.
You find out and tell us.
Yeah.
That'd just be like,
no. I hadn't even thought about that.
It's crazy.
And you're like, we have a basic address and that's it.
Yeah.
And we don't know what.
Go see what, tell us what you find. Good luck.
Good luck. Bye.
Good luck.
And save people's lives.
Yes.
While you're at it.
Yeah, keep your cool no matter what, no matter how many weird pinatas are hanging from the ceiling.
Or glass is sticking out of people's foreheads. Jesus. I love that story. Okay. When we arrived at the poorly lit apartment complex, there was a police officer in the distance casually waving us in with his flashlight. He looked like he was directing traffic. That's how excited he was. Definitely bullshit, I thought. So we parked on the street just outside the parking lot and get out of the rig pretty slowly. A light rain had just started to fall. If you want to see somebody who is unenthused, that's the word, send a pair of EMTs out in the rain at 4 a.m. So don't get murdered at 4 a.m. on a rainy night.
I mean,
they just won't care.
Or choke.
So we strolled in this parking lot to find another officer. He doesn't look amused either. An officer who looks amused.
That would be a bummer.
Yeah. When we ask him what's up, he proceeds to beam his flashlight between two parked cars. There is an extremely bloody man. His lower body is under one of the cars and his upper body is exposed. He isn't moving. Of course, we get total what the fuck face. And as we're about to ask the officer as much, he says, you've also got one between these two cars and one between these two cars, as he points them out.
What?
There are three very bloody, very dead looking guys.
What?
Yeah. I don't know.
Wait, is this the beginning of the movie 7?
Because what is that? It's something totally different though. It's like, what's the theme of that one? Cars. It's the movie Cars and 7 mashup.
So it's an animated 7?
Yes.
Great.
Someone make that for me. And now I'm awake. My adrenaline is
yeah, you
up.
Are.
Yeah. My adrenaline is up and my eyes have adjusted to the shitty lighting in the parking lot and I'm getting the whole picture. God, adrenaline, man. There are three men who have been stabbed, each of them between parked cars. The cars themselves are covered in blood. It looks like a scene out of a low-rent horror movie. It's my partner and I. The local fire station had yet to arrive. My partner looks at me wide-eyed and says, just pick one. And off we go like the world's worst relay race.
Oh, no.
Oh, honey. Each victim was stabbed at least 10 times in the chest and abdomen. At this point, we're just triaging.
Triaging.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dead or alive. I expected dead, but all of them were alive and talking.
What?
My partner is all over the radio calling in whatever help we could get, and we're basically patching holes.
Okay. Okay. I need to know so much about what the fuck is going on.
I do too. Long story short.
Here we go.
Other trucks arrived and we're just swapping empty stretchers for ones with patients. We had every patient off the scene alive and on their way to the hospital in less than 8 minutes from our arrival.
Wow.
Wow. Get off early, man.
Hey.
We actually received written commendations. Commendations?
Mm-hmm. For that's one below a golden ambulance.
It's a pat on the back. The golden pat on the back. For how quickly we acted and my partner's awesomely cool head under pressure. If it sounds like I'm bragging, it's because I totally am. Thanks. Unfortunately, one guy died en route to the hospital and one died in the ER. One did make it to the OR where they discovered that part of his heart was actually severed from the rest.
What?
I don't know how he was alive and talking to me. He also died.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
I don't know how to end the story in a way that wasn't a super down note.
Well, I mean, we relate.
But here's the problem I see in this letter. We never really found out what happened. No!
Oh. How?
In between, like, did they wait?
Three men in between three cars.
Car? Did they wait there?
Did they run away, up away?
But the cars were bloody.
So
and
then,
they all fell at that same spot?
But in between, so did they see each other?
Did they stab each other?
Did three people stab each? Did everyone get their own attacker?
Yeah.
Was it one? Because I immediately pictured one attacker.
Yeah, yeah, but like, why would the third guy just wait where he was if he saw his two buddies?
It
says, never again did we roll our eyes at an unknown call. Stay sexy, don't get stabbed. Mitch from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mitch.
Mitchie.
I mean, that was good.
Yeah.
And that's, it's that thing of like, that's the, that's what that job is like you go in for the worst part and then that's it. Like you don't.
Yeah. That's like, I'd want to know.
You go in for, you don't get explanations. You just have to go take care of business when everyone's been stabbed 10 times.
You can't just be like, hey nurse, remember that time I brought in three guys who got stabbed and one of his heart was. Can we only do hometown EMTs or first responders from now on?
I mean, I wouldn't mind it. That just made me think of, so I already said this, but Dave Zwire, who is our family friend, started as an EMT. Now he's a San Francisco fireman, mm-hmm. but we were at a wedding once and he was on one side of my sister and I. And then Jeff Neuberger, who was our neighbor growing up, who also was an EMT, but he was an EMT in like somewhere fancy in Marin County. And they were swapping EMT stories. Oh. And Dave told a horrible story yes. of somebody that tried to run across the freeway that ended very poorly. Oh. And he was like, it was, of course, I was like, uh-huh, tell me whatever. And my sister's like, what's wrong with you?
No, I want to be sitting there.
Right. But then Jeff, he finishes that story. Then Jeff goes, yeah, I'm in Marin County. So like, we just got like, you know, we get called when people have hurt feelings.
Oh my like, God.
Depending on where you live.
Yeah.
It's like, it's an okay, you know, it's like stressful. I mean, I just can't imagine.
Send us more. By you, I mean the podcast, of course. I'll say it on the podcast. Because I'm a monster. Send us more first responder stories.
Yeah, those are great.
Put first responder EMT story in the subject, and Stephen will then know to remind us that we do this.
And thanks for writing those in. Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered.
Bye.